Hello and welcome to another edition of the Cool Sore Podcast. How are you doing today? How's that dream of yours manifesting? Are you tapping into it? Are you living it? Are you dreaming another big dream? Are you setting goals for yourself? Are you doing exactly what you want to do? Today is the day to take the first step because, as I've always said, the first step is to take the first step. Let us make it a great day. Thank you for clicking the download button. That means so much to me. Also, make sure you are subscribing. Tell a friend to subscribe to the Cool Sora podcast as we interview men and women in Greek letter organizations about their journeys, about their trials and tribulations, and how they've been able to overcome. And that is definitely what Dr. Carmetria Burton has done. She is the strategic programs and supplier diversity for Delta Airlines. She is also the visionary and creator of the Paint Your Lips Red campaign, which she'll talk all about. But she also gives tidbits on how you can have your business or have a partnership with Delta Airlines. She'll take you step by step in this process. So it's really, really good. I'm sure you'll definitely enjoy this episode with Dr. Carmetria Burton. Here is Position of Impact. I hope you enjoy.
You know you gotta be a cool soror to talk to the cool soror herself.
I'm a cool soror.
Hey, y'all.
I am a cool soror of...
What's up, y'all? I'm a cool soror of...
Hi, I am a cool soror of...
Podcast hosted by me, Rashawn Ali.
Good day, good people. It's another edition of the Cool Soror Podcast. And today we are joined by Dr. Carmetria Dunham Burton, who is a cool soror of
Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.
Hello and welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much. Finally, long time coming.
It is a long time coming because, you know, you're so busy and everything.
There she go.
I had to blame it on somebody.
Yes. I own it. I'll take it.
Right.
I'll
we both it. Are very busy, yes. But I'm glad that we are here to talk about
so am I.
All the wonderful things you have going on. And you look stunning, darling.
Oh, thank you. I got to keep up with you.
I mean, you know, let's keep up with each other.
That's how we roll in AKA, right?
I mean, you know, we all roll well. How about that?
I like it. Yes. I like it.
Yes.
I like it.
Absolutely. So let's talk about you and all the wonderful things that you are doing. Of course, you're starting to, you have launched an amazing project, which we'll get into, but I want to talk about your, you know, your day-to-day and the importance of your role at Delta Airlines. You are the Director of Strategic Programs and Supply Diversity for Delta Airlines. That's a long, nice title.
Yes, sounds good.
It sounds very good. So what exactly do you do for Delta Airlines?
Yes.
And how can people say, when they hear this interview, say, oh, that's her work?
Yes.
Yeah.
I always say if I had to explain it to my 106-year-old great-grandmother, it would be this. I am the advocate for small women and minority businesses, helping them get Delta corporate contracts.
Love it.
So if you are an entrepreneur, right, looking to do business with a corporation, I am your advocate.
Really?
So think beyond the pilot and the flight attendants. Uh-huh. That's all people think about when they think about Delta, right?
Right, right.
But there are so many other things that gets the airplane off the ground and running.
Yeah.
So if you are in business for yourself and maybe you're a consultant providing marketing services, legal services, IT services, construction services, corporate real estate, any type of procurement of any type of consulting services. I am the person, if you are a small women or minority business, to help you get that Delta contract.
That is fantastic. So this is from, like, just like you said, from the smallest thing to the grand, most grand thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what makes businesses stand out for you?
So I always tell entrepreneurs, know your value proposition, right? So if I meet you, I need to know in 30 seconds what you're going to bring to Delta, your elevator speech, right?
Yeah.
What would catch my attention, right? So it's, I always tell people, it's kind of like when you're dating somebody, right? Mm-hmm. How do you get their attention? How do you bring them in? So what's your value proposition, right? You're in business for yourself, but tell me how Delta can benefit from that.
Right.
And that is how you set yourself apart from other businesses. So always be ready. Have that elevator speech, that 30 to 60 second value proposition ready.
You know, a lot of business owners are, don't know how to even start the process of trying to connect with a Delta Airlines. What is that process like?
So the process is two ways. I do a lot of outreach activities, but the way to find that out is you go to delta.com Cool.com/supplier diversity.
Okay.
On that website, it talks about the mission, the vision, the products and services we procure. It teaches you how to do business with Delta, the mission, the vision, all of that. And then it outlines our outreach activities.
Okay.
So you can find us on the website, or then you can come out and meet me at an outreach event, and we can talk more live face to face on how to get your foot in the door.
How long have you been in this type of diversity business? I guess that's what you would say. How would you state that? Let's see. How long have you been in this type of realm where it's all about diversity?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm dating myself here.
Don't worry. You don't have to.
It's probably been about 12 to 15 years.
Yeah.
So here's the beauty of it. Right out of college, my father was an entrepreneur. I worked for him. So I knew what it meant to be an entrepreneur, feast or famine, going to corporations, trying to get these corporate contracts. And now I'm on the other side of the table helping these businesses. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen it from both ends.
Yeah,
so I've done it for about 12 to 15 years. And I am just so fulfilled by it because it really allows me to make an impact. It really allows me to influence. And it just allows me to pass on wisdom and nuggets to entrepreneurs who you may never get a Delta contract, but I'm able to help and give you the inside scoop on how to grow your business to a corporate level.
Yeah. And so I know that you may have had not favorites over the years, but like, how good does it make you feel to see maybe a business owner that this was there?
Yeah.
Wow. This is how I've made my business pop because of this contract. And now I'm doing even greater things.
Right.
Is that do you have somebody in mind or have in mind?
I do.
Yeah.
And actually the beauty of this story is twofold. It took him about 8 years to get a contract, right? I tell people, you know, it's a dating game,
yeah,
right? You don't marry everybody you date. It takes a process. So he came to Delta. He learned how to do business with us. He wasn't ready, right? So that's when we kind of did the coaching, the training, and mentoring. He went back, came back, responded to a few RFPs, still didn't win the business, came back, went back, and probably after about 5 years, he got a contract,
man,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So excited.
Yeah.
Then he did such a great job with that first contract, we grew the business. So that's one thing about Delta. If you show up, if you're scalable, providing innovation, saving solutions, great customer service, if we want to give you more business, we will do it.
Man.
And so we grew the contract in about 2 years. I would say about a year later, he came to me and said, Carmitra, you just don't know how this has changed my family's life.
Man.
Right?
Yeah.
His daughter was just graduating from high school. He said, I am able to send my daughter to college without student loans,
man,
as a result of my partnership with Delta.
Gosh.
So see, that's economic impact,
yes,
right?
At
its best.
Yes.
Right? So empowering entrepreneurs, allowing them better lives for their family, educating their children, and then just giving back to the communities in which they work and live.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It really is powerful.
Do you do training or coaching outside of Delta? Like, do you have your own business as well?
I do.
Okay.
I do. So
okay.
I'm a coach and motivational speaker.
Okay. Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So not only for entrepreneurs, but for women leaders.
Yeah.
Right. So our next generation of women leaders, I'm really trying to get our next generation of sustain those millennials. Right. Because Carmitra and Rashawn ain't always going to be here.
Right.
So we need to begin to get our next wave of women generation leaders in the gap and ready.
Yeah.
So I do that.
Outside. Yeah.
It's just a passion for me.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah.
Like you absolutely love what you do.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Yep. And it drives you.
I'm blessed to be able to do something that I have passion about and I love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're from Houston, Texas.
H-Town.
H-Town. And then you went to Southern University. What was the calling to go to Southern?
Girl, so one of the HBCU experience.
Of course.
My parents did not have it.
Okay.
But they committed to their children. So I went to Southern. My brother went to TSU, Tennessee State University.
Yes.
And girl, went to Baton Rouge and just have developed some of the best, amazing relationships to this day. And you know the HBCU, that's the legacy, right?
Yes, it is.
It's not only the legacy of the education. You know, I always tell people, you know, I got a degree, my master's degree from University of Nebraska, but I was educated at Southern University.
Yes, totally.
Totally different experience.
Totally.
So when you talk about the education, the professors, the teachers, Bayou Classic, homecoming, it is just all just part of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say Southern University, I give it all back to her.
Yeah.
I love the experiences that university has afforded me to have to be the woman I am today.
Right. Did you go from getting your undergrad straight to getting your graduate degree at University of Nebraska?
I worked right after Southern University. I moved to Omaha, Nebraska.
Oh my.
Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Had to pull out the map.
Yeah.
Had to find it. Yeah. Right. Scared to move there because I was worried about two things. Who is going to do my hair? Right. Were there any black folks in Omaha? And where was I going to go to church? Right? It was the Midwest. I had never heard of it. So I went there right out of college, my first job in marketing, worked for about 2 years, then went back and got my master's from University of Nebraska.
Tell me about the experience in Nebraska after you did your research trying to find a stylist.
Rashawn, but here's the beauty of an HBCU. So I was in Omaha probably for about a year and a half, working, coming home maybe twice a month.
Okay.
Not a whole lot of culture there. Had found a good church, had finally found a hairstylist. Girl, in church one Sunday, another young woman on the other side of the church just started waving.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey. She's like, you don't remember me? It's like, no. I went to Southern.
Wow.
I went to school with you. I was in your marketing introduction class.
Whoa.
The beauty of an HBCU,
right? Right,
right. Who knew? And she was from Omaha.
Oh, wow.
Right? So when I was at Southern, I knew her name and her face, but that's all I knew.
Uh-huh.
And so as you could imagine, that was my new best friend.
I know it was.
So we had Southern in common. We had Omaha in common. And then we were two educated women right out of college just trying to make our path.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So she... that was really, really a great story and how I tie it back to the value and the relationships you build in college.
Yeah. Are you still in touch with her to this day?
Yes. She was in my wedding.
Yeah.
She still lives in Omaha. She has two kids. Still my very, very good girlfriend.
Yeah. Good stuff. Now, you have received several awards from, you know, your amazing, you've had a really, really great career.
I've been really
blessed.
Before
I ask about the awards, what do you attribute your success to?
God.
Yeah.
And being just really centered and focused. It's not about me. It's really about my purpose on this earth and how I pay it forward and keep giving back, right? This world is so much bigger than me, so much bigger than us.
Yeah, it is.
And then, you know, my grandmother, you know, I'm one of those people, not too many people can say they were raised by their grandmother or I knew my grandmother. She raised me and she really instilled a lot of great values in me, you know, through prayer and hard work and education and then just a whole lot of strong women in my life.
Yeah.
Grandmother, mother, aunts, girlfriends, but just really just the feeling of blessed and humility and just wanting to give back. You know, my mom always says, to whom much is given, much is required.
Right.
And I don't take that lightly.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about your grandmother. You said she primarily raised you.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. You obviously said what she instilled in you, but tell me about that experience.
So my parents were teenage parents.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right. And my grandmother was hell bent on, although you guys have had a baby at 17, they got married, you still will go to college.
Mm-hmm.
So my parents went to college and my grandparents raised me.
Mm.
And they were very adamant in, oh, we got this baby. You know how those grandmothers did back then. Y'all gone. We got this girl. So my parents were young parents in college and she raised me, you know, until I was five. Parents went away, went to college, you know, did great and came back and got me. But it was just, you know, the memory of being with my grandmother, my grandparents. They never met a stranger. Their house always had somebody there.
Yeah.
Right? Cousins coming through Houston. Hey, you know, Miss Dorothy and Uncle Clyde, we need somewhere to stay. You know, y'all come on, stay over here. You know, cook food, stay the night. People from church. So they were always giving and loving on everybody else. And I always saw that.
Yeah.
They were always nurturers. And to me, that really instilled the importance of family.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw that. And so while my grandmother was cooking and letting people in, I was always sitting at the counter reading. Because it was always, oh, you get your lesson.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You read, you do your homework. I'm not the best cook because I was always in for, you know, while she was cooking.
You were reading.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You're getting your education.
Exactly.
Which is why you're so successful.
So that's one page. I didn't get a full page out of her book.
I think we like the education part better. I may have to ask your husband. I don't know.
He gets fed. That's all that matters.
Right.
He does get fed.
Awesome.
But just family, the value of education, raised in the church, girl, just always volunteering, and just the beauty of giving back.
You love it.
Service.
Yes.
That is the rent we pay on earth.
Come on.
Right? Giving back to others.
Yeah.
And so that was what she really instilled in me.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's absolutely beautiful. Do you have siblings?
I have a younger brother.
Okay.
My younger brother lives in Nashville. He went to TSU.
Oh, yeah. You just said that. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. My brother went to TSU, too. He's my older brother.
Look at all this we have in
common.
I
know.
I love that.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that. Okay.
Yeah. He went to TSU as well. Yeah.
Nice.
Awesome. So right before you got to Delta, what was going on in your life then?
So I had moved around. So I had been on this corporate trajectory right out of college, University of Nebraska, lived in Rochester, New York, lived in Austin, Texas, came back to Atlanta in 2002.
Okay.
Working for, at that time, Bell South.
Mm-hmm.
And then left Bell South and worked for Intercontinental Hotels Group. And unfortunately was laid off from IHG. That's a whole nother chapter. And was out of work probably for about a year.
Mm.
And Delta Airlines was looking to really beef up their supplier diversity initiative. And I had a friend that called and said, girl, Delta's hiring, you'd be great. I'm like, do you know how many people want to apply for that job?
Right.
She's like, so what? What's for you is for you. Just do it. So I applied and just, you know, was very prayerful about it and got the job.
Yeah.
You know, here I am 8 years later, still making a difference, still loving what I do, and still really, just really building the value of entrepreneurship in our communities.
During that year when you were like, Lord, what is going on in my life? Let's go back to that time and how you were able to push through, because that's the, you know, we see resumes. We've been talking about your success. But let's talk about that time when you felt like, man, if something don't happen tomorrow, I don't know what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. How did you make it through? I know it's God, but you have those human moments. So, how did you push through in the human moments?
You know, I am a big believer of being authentic, and I share this story all the time because I'm hoping it will empower others. But I fell into a depression because for so long, my title, my network, my Rolodex had defined me. I mean, I was lunching with the mayor and some of the best, and people calling me, hey, Kermitri, I need your opinion. I want you to speak here. And when I lost that job, it's like nobody was calling.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yep. And so it was like the title was gone, and I went home, and I remember it happened in November. So January 1st, I got up thinking I was going to work. And my husband looked at me and said, where are you going today? And I said, I'm going to work. And he said, well, we talked about, you know, you'd gotten laid off. And I was like, that's right.
You forgot that
Because I had just been so in the rhythm.
Programmed.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well said. And I was like, you're right. I don't. And I said, well, what am I going to do? I had no option B. I had nothing, right? Because my job was me. And so I put my pajamas on and I went back to sleep and probably slept for 2 days.
Mm.
And then my husband, you know, you okay? You okay? And I was like, I'm dealing with it. So in bed for two more days, and probably at the end of that week, he said, you know what? That job wasn't who you were.
Yeah.
Right? That title, you cannot allow your title to define you.
Yes.
And at the time, my great-grandmother was 106.
Mm.
I took time off. I went to South Louisiana and spent time with her, right? Back in the woods. She was still drawing water from the well cooking hot water cornbread. And I really got back to my roots. And I began to see everything that was really important to me, right? I began to just be more intentional, you know, just looking at small stuff, talking to her, and just kind of getting back to those things. And when I kind of got out of the loop, it really made me get back to who I was and to God.
Yeah.
And then I just said, God, where do you want me? What's next for me? I didn't anticipate this. I mean, nobody really thinks about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage people, really think about your option B, right? Because you're not immune to being laid off or to changing your mind. So I began to really think about that when I was there for about 2 weeks and I came back to Atlanta. And then that's when my friend called me. Things just start coming.
Yeah. Right?
And then that's when I said, do I really want to get back in this corporate rat race, right? I thought about entrepreneurism. Then I've always wanted to teach college, right? At the time I was completing my doctorate, I was working on it. And I just had a whole lot of options. And I just kind of got centered and focused and sat still. And I said, the next position I take, I want it to be a position of impact.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make a difference.
Yes.
I want to do something different. And, you know, hence here I am, you know, Delta. But I tell you, I was depressed. And I tell people all the time, don't allow the title of the role to define you.
Yeah.
When you leave your jobs every day, that's not who you are. That's mm-hmm. what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a hard lesson for me.
Yeah. What did you carry from the things that you learned during that year with you now? Because you are, again, you're doing some amazing work at a very high power organization.
Yeah.
What have you learned from that so that you don't, that cycle doesn't happen again?
Option B. What's my plan?
And you got some too.
I got an option B. You know, Kermitria, you won't be here always, right? God may tell me he wants me to do something different. So always have a plan and an option B. Have a good support system.
Yeah.
My husband was just so amazing. My parents were amazing. A lot of friends, they'll know now, didn't know what I was going through, because I think people don't know what to say to you during that time.
Of course not.
So just option B, have a great support system, and really, really listen for God's voice. Because social media, people, that stuff can distort you.
Absolutely.
So you don't know the difference between that and if it's God.
Mm-hmm.
But really, really get focused and centered and ask God, well, what is it you want me to do? Where do I really need to be?
Yeah.
And sometimes what he may say to you, you may not like.
Oh.
But it's from him.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said about obedience.
How have you gotten so close in knowing God's voice?
I think it comes with maturity and experience.
Yeah.
I think when you get comfortable in your skin, you know there's a higher power than you. You know, I started, and this is something else, I started a prayer group of women probably about 9 years ago. And I remember him saying, I want you to create a safe environment for women to come to every Tuesday morning by phone to talk about issues and problems and just pray and praise me.
That was direct. That was a direct that you got.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, nobody ain't gonna get up at no 6:30 on Tuesday morning, right? So I was scared. I was fearful. I was like, I'm not gonna pitch. These women are busy. And then he just started showing me faces of women that he wanted me to approach to be a part of this prayer group. And every woman I approached about it accepted it with not only enthusiasm, but tears.
Hmm.
I need that. Oh my goodness. I've been going through this. I love it. Let's do it. Let's do it. I want to be around other God-fearing, caring women. So, you know, the way I know it's God's voice is sometimes you ever heard God tell you something and then it's confirmed through other people?
Absolutely. All the time.
Or things you read, mm-hmm. or things you see, or mm-hmm. things you hear. It's like, check, God, I hear you.
Yeah.
And so that's how I know it's his voice. That confirmation begins to just consume me in every area of my life.
Yeah.
And I know it's from him. It cannot be anybody else. It's the Spirit.
So you still do it every Tuesday?
Every Tuesday morning, 6:30 a.m., 9 years. 9 years,
How
girl.
Has your life changed since starting that group?
It gets back to that word, impacting and influencing. I mean, obviously all the women that have started out, you know, women come and go and that's fine, but we're always there if you need us. I mean, I've heard prayer reports. I've heard praise reports, prayer requests. Just providing that platform for us to come together and pray for each other just makes me feel so good.
Yeah.
And we get together twice a year to see each other for lunch or breakfast or dinner. But yeah, 9 years going strong.
I love it.
Praying and praising.
I know it. Well, God has really been doing amazing work. And let's talk about your newest project.
Oh, yes. I'm so excited.
The Paint Your Lips Red experience. Let's talk about how, from the very beginning, because both you and I love red lipstick. Yes, we are AKAs, but I love me some red.
The power of it.
Yes, I have on pink lipstick today, but it's only because I had on my pink Adidas.
So
but I will be wearing my red. How did you even start this? God.
You know what? Yes, I was judging a pageant and had a makeup artist, face beat, blah, 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 blah. She said, what kind of lip you want to wear today? And I was like, let's do a red lip, right? Programmed to just makeup, lip, go.
Yeah.
And never really taking it in. And when I looked in the mirror, it was like, girl.
Yeah, you look good.
Whoa.
Killing it.
Right? And I said, something just feels different here. And so I went about my day and I just noticed people were, man, you look really nice today. It was just my swagger was on 1,000. And it was always there. It was just a greater awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to my room and I was looking in the mirror and I started taking all these selfies, calling my girlfriends going, look, I know red lipstick has been around for a while, but tell me how you feel when you put on a red lip.
Yeah.
Girl, and it was just, I'm bold, I'm
right.
courageous, I'm powerful, I love it. And I said, I think I'm onto something,
yeah.
right? So I started encouraging women, right, to paint their lips red, right? So red lipstick has always been a fashion statement,
yeah.
but now it's a call to action.
Yes.
I am really asking women to be more measured, intentional, and focused through the power of a red lip.
Huh. In what way?
And so if you've heard of the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People,
yes.
I have a concept called the 12 Habits of Women Who Paint Their Lips Red.
Hmm.
right? Uh-huh. And so I'm getting women back to the basics of being poised, being classy, showing up, doing it afraid, being intentional, being spiritual, self-care, competent, confident, being risk takers, and being authentic.
Love it.
And so as you apply the red lipstick, we will be applying these habits to these women's lives.
Great.
And I just really want this to be a call to action. You know, when I see another woman in a red lip, you know, it's like a silent affirmation. It's like, I see you, girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when you put on a red lip, you're bold. You're going to get noticed.
Yes.
Right? But I really want them to be aware of the red lip and a call to action to be more measured and intentional women.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm having my first live event. Yes. I have a partnership and a sponsorship through NARS Cosmetics.
That's dope.
It's going to be July 30th. And we're going to do a red lip bar. They're rolling out their red lipstick. You can get a makeover. You can get your lips done. I'm going to have a champagne toast.
Yes.
I'm getting a proclamation. So it will be the official Paint Your Lips Red Day for the state of Georgia.
Come on.
And so I'm launching what's called the Power Circle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a membership Power Circle where women can pay an annual membership fee for monthly coaching calls on the 12 characteristics of women who paint their lips red.
Come on, entrepreneur.
They'll get invited to events. They'll get access to all my keynote speakers and all of that.
Yeah.
So it's going to be called the Red Lip Power Circle in Atlanta.
Yeah.
If the women are not in Atlanta, so many women are reaching out to me saying, can you come to Las Vegas? Can you come to LA? And so that's coming, right? So I'm working with NARS to see how I can spread the love. But you don't have to be in Atlanta to be a part of the Power Circle.
Absolutely.
Because
not.
All of that will be virtual.
Yeah. How did you, the partnership with NARS.
Yep.
And I know how you are a mover and a shaker. So did you reach out to them? Did they see what
you were
doing?
I reached out to them. You know, the goal was to get a partnership with a cosmetic company, one that obviously support women through cosmetics. And when they learned of the platform and what I was doing, they liked it. They said, absolutely. You know, empower women through beauty, but through a red lip, you know, loved it.
Yeah.
The goal is, you know, maybe somebody out there, I would love to have my own red lipstick manufactured to be named for the Paint Your Lips Red campaign.
Yeah. You already have, we can't divert. You can't like tell the name, but I know you probably already have a name of your red lip you would like to have.
I can.
Oh, go ahead. Tell me.
So you heard me talk about my grandmother, right?
Yes.
So the red lipstick will be called Dorothy Jean.
I love that.
Big Mama wore red lips. And so if I could get my own red lipstick created, it would be called Dorothy Jean.
That's beautiful.
That's her name. That's it.
Because I can see somebody, what, do you have on, you got a Dorothy Jean?
Yep.
Because that's what I do when I reference Ruby Woo.
Right,
you know
right,
what
right,
I mean?
Right, like, right.
Which is my favorite,
right,
another one right. of my favorites. Yeah. Good.
So that's the goal, girl. I'm excited. And the beauty of it is so many women, since I started this, it started out on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So many women have said, you know what? I don't wear red lipstick. But girl, when I wore it, I felt different. I got compliments. I got noticed. Some women are still saying, I still play it safe. It's a little too bold. And that's okay. To that, I say, find your shade.
Hmm.
There are different shades of red. So that translates into do what's comfortable for you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So the power of a red lip.
Love
it's a call
it.
To action, ladies.
Good. I love that. And so how can people get more information on becoming a part of the event, the launch event, July 30th?
So if you go to www.paintyourlipsred.com, you can go and register July 30th. It is a free event. It is filling up so quickly. So please go and register. It's July 30th, 5 to 7 p.m. at the NARS Makeup Boutique at the Shops at Buckhead.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Love it. So in 1999, you became a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority,
yes,
Incorporated.
Yes.
Now, did Alpha Kappa Alpha choose you, or did you choose Alpha Kappa Alpha?
It was a little bit of both,
okay,
right? So I pledged graduate chapter. Unfortunately, at Southern University, you know how that goes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in the midst of just kind of working and doing stuff in the community, a few of the women, my mother's an AKA, so
okay,
let me just say that. So it was legacy, which means I didn't have a whole lot of options.
Right.
And so a few of the women said, you know, hey, would love for you to be a part of the organization. I said, why wouldn't I be? You know,
right,
it's a great organization for sisterhood and maintaining the legacy. And I was just proud to be a part of it.
Yeah.
So have been a part of it since then and have really been able to bring value to the sorority. And I always tell young women, don't allow it to make you. What are you bringing?
Yes.
Right? It's about service. It's about, you know, the greater good for mankind. Bring something to the table beyond just wearing the letters and a car tag. Okay.
Yes.
So it really is about service.
Yeah.
It really is about
absolutely.
Service.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Does your mom pledge undergrad when she left and went away to school?
So my mom and my parents went to Texas Tech.
Okay.
So she did pledge undergrad.
Oh, awesome. Yes. Awesome. Yes. So yeah, she still had her whole collegiate experience,
yes.
even though, you know, mm-hmm. she and your dad were team parents.
And my dad is an alpha, so.
And your dad's an alpha. Look at them. They just did it big. I love it. I love it. So how can people find you? Yeah, all your social media handles and all that good stuff.
So my website is KarmetriaBurton.com, K-A-R-M-E-T-R-I-A Burton, B-U-R-T-O-N. I'm on Instagram at Karmetria B, and the same for Twitter.
Yes. And she's very active on your social media.
I am.
She's very active.
I am.
Yeah.
I am. I'm out there doing it. Social media is a great thing, but you know, it can be a distraction.
It can. I've minimized my scrolling. Tremendously.
So you just post and get off.
I post and get off for the most part. Now, every now and then I'll allow myself to scroll and like a couple pictures and do comments. But I think that it because I'm such a sensitive person and you'll have all these great posts and then you'll have something that's extremely sad. And then that sad one will just infiltrate my spirit the whole day.
Yeah.
So not that I run from stuff, but I just don't want it to mess up my energy. I'm very, very conscious about vibrations and energy and stuff
and
like
vibes.
That.
Yep.
Yeah. And so I just had to stop. And once I stopped, I'm like, wow, I feel so much better.
Yeah.
Because I just can't allow myself to be consumed by social media as much as I used to.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a big distraction.
It is. It can be. It's a great tool, but it can be.
It really is. You got to know how to use it wisely. And mm-hmm. I find myself being pulled in more than I want to be.
Yeah.
So I kind of have to, I put hours, right? 10 to 11. And then again at night, then I'm off.
Nice. You set your schedule with social media.
I mean, my husband and I, we have something called a no phone zone. After 9 o'clock?
Yes. I like that. I'm writing that down.
No phone zone, right? When we have the kids over and we're eating dinner, no phone zone. We're talking. Look mm-hmm, at me. Tell mm-hmm. me about your day. Off.
Yeah.
No phones. Done.
Yeah. Our rule is don't come in the house on the phone. Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Greet your family.
I love that too.
Yes.
I love that too.
Yeah. So we have to all, I think this conversation is going to be good for some folks out there. You know, like, hey, man, put that thing down.
Yeah.
Because it can be a distraction. Yeah.
Not that I've mastered it, but I'm just intentional about being a little more, you know, focused throughout the day.
In the moment.
Yeah.
Present.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your
Rashawn,
time today.
It is a pleasure. Thank you for this platform.
Yes.
You've done such a great job
thank you.
Providing it. And whatever I can do to help, you know, to keep the message going, please let me know.
I will. One more question. What is your definition of cool?
Being comfortable in your skin, like having a certain kind of swagger and... being the same person all the time, right? So you can catch me at Delta Airlines, you know, talking in executive meetings, but then you can also catch me at events and I'm going to be the same.
Yeah.
And I think that just transcends your coolness, right? The millennials tell me I'm cool and I love that.
Yes. You know. When you can get a cool check from the millennials, you really are cool.
Yeah. So, and that's, you know, the way you dress, the way you speak, the way you carry yourself. You know, just being the same person all the time.
Yes, yes.
The cool in you.
The cool in you. Well, cool, Karmetria. Thank you so much for being
a part of
the Cool Sora podcast.
You're welcome.
Karmetria.
My pleasure.
Karmetria Burton, everybody.
Hello, my name is Dr. Karmetria Burton, and I am the Director of Supplier Diversity with Delta Airlines and also the founder of the Paint Your Lips Red movement. I am a cool soror of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.